Welcome to Optical Obsessed Live episode number 1. Do you love optical? Do you love how it's the number 1 profit center for most optometric practices, even ones that are medically oriented? This is the first episode of a weekly Wednesday optical talk show that occurs every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern. Come join live by heading to the show notes and signing up to attend the video call or enjoy the replay on this podcast or view on YouTube. Everybody needs a mentor to learn the business and technical side of optical. These things are not taught in school. These things are not taught on Facebook groups in detail. Every week experience a new topic where you can learn from Perry and his guests that contribute and ask questions. No ads, no sponsorship, no products being hawked, just education.
Yo, yo, my name is Perry Brill. Entrepreneur, yeah, it's a big deal. We talk about all things eye care because I care about eye care. Technology, eyewear, so many revolutionary things in eye care. Tech startups and innovation, the coolest eye care stuff in the nation. Are you an eye doc or an optician? Doesn't really matter because we cook it in the kitchen. Yeah.
Right. Welcome to the inaugural episode of Optical Obsessed Live. My name is Perry Brill. I'm the CEO of Entrepreneur Media. Many of you know me, and I'm super stoked to be here. Just got back from Vision Expo on Monday. Had a wonderful, wonderful time. And if you're there, maybe put in the chat, what's up, Eric? How are you? Eric Matei with Akrinos. If you were at Expo, put it in the chat. Did you go? Give me a smiley. So the reason I created this platform is, as you know, I love education and I love teaching optical. I love talking about optometry. And I have a big frustration with continuing education. I believe that community is the next frontier of how we learn. And we're all experiencing that on Facebook today. We all want to learn from peers. But the issue is we have a lot of these people who are keyboard warriors and they say what they want. And there's a lot of KOLs out there. And I think that's a respectable thing today to be a KOL. But we need people who are willing to share intellectual property. With that being said, I'm going to share my journey into eye care so you can understand the framework with how I'll be talking about you. And I think this is going to be a really fun game-like experience. And if you have opticians or other doctors or other industry friends, please invite them to the show so they can all benefit from the educational framework I've created here. I'm going to go through back in 2010. I went to the University of Kansas. And as you know, we just won the championship NCAA. So go Jayhawks. That was a crazy game. I went to school there, thought I wanted to be a doctor. Like my dad or even, you know, something else in that medical profession. What I realized is I hate school. I don't like taking the classes. I don't like doing the schoolwork. Even though I'm good at school, I can write papers, I can do the test, I can show up on time. So next year, I was super bored and I told my dad that. And I was like, I think I should just go get a job. And so I went and applied at like a hamburger place and somewhere else. And my dad said, why don't you go apply at Lawrence Family Vision Clinic? It was a four or five doctor location practice in Lawrence, Kansas. Been around 60, 70 years, had a great reputation. And I was so glad I did because I fell in love with optical without not even realizing it. You know, when I was at my dad's office, which has been around since 83, you know, I would just run around and, you know, be a kid and, you know, climb on the phropter and destroy things. So after Lawrence Family Vision Clinic of getting paid $7 an hour or whatever low wage they gave me, exploiting college students, I moved over with my dad, boss daddy here. Hey, dad, I think he's in the audience. And I worked there for about 7 or 8 years. And I learned the ins and outs of everything private optometry. So I learned lab, as you can see here. Here's a whole optronics professional setup here. Had an edge, had a purchase lenses, finding the best private label, working with brands. Drilling, grooving, painting grooves, I mean, polishing, you name it. I was doing it in the lab. As you can see from photo number five here. It was a luxury setting, 6,700 square feet, a massive optical, 2,000 frames. And that was our big selling point. So we had a shitload of frames. And I know every optical consultant is going to tell you to have three turns or whatever, but I don't believe in that. I believe in sometimes we have marketing cost and we have to choose what our marketing costs are. And for some people, their marketing cost is, you know, VSP or IMED. And to add to my portfolio of the knowledge, I leaned on my dad, who taught me a lot in the medical and the dry eye, ortho K, and other specialty sectors of the practice. And we think we can't do it all, but we can do it all in optometric practice. You can be good at everything. Now, in Kansas City, we don't have a major population of Asians and things like that who want ortho K. So it can be a little tougher. You know, we're not going to be heavy volume of ortho K, and you have to work harder for those things. So after 8 or 9 years working with my dad, I got bored, didn't know what the hell I wanted to do. And so he was in the process to selling to private equity. Congrats, Dad. And I moved to Burlington, Vermont, just because I wanted to. And here I am with my dog on some random mountain, finally getting warm here. And I went through a life lesson of what do I want to do? Here I am, an optician, completely skilled, ready to attack the world, entrepreneurship, let's get it. And I was left high and dry, like, I don't know what I want to do with this skill set. I have so much to apply. So I started Entrepreneur Media altruistically with a podcast, which now has over 150 episodes, and I did it to educate. And what came out of it was, oh my God, I can create media. I can influence people. I can get people to get off their asses, buy equipment, institute technology in their practices, go against the grain. And then from there, I've started working in other organizations, doing a lot of consulting, technology work, and even becoming partners in some, as you can see below here. So that being said, this event, I want you guys to engage. If you have a question, please ask it in the chat. I'll bring it up on here. And this isn't going to be a unique platform. This is not a webinar. There's no sales pitch. You are not going to receive an email solicitation from me or any vendor throughout this 52-week series. This is every single week, Wednesday night at 8 p.m. We're going to have advanced things. We're going to have really simple things. So whether you have a new learner or an advanced person, I hope I can offer some perspective. And to offer more perspective, I'm going to have the audience, you guys, hello, friends, join me on the screen. And what you'll need to do is, if you have a question you want to ask me, come on live with video. We're just going to banter back and forth. I can get up to six people on video at a time. What's up, Dr. Davidson? How are you? He has a really cool drink called Dry Eye Drink for dry eyes. Hey, Cindy, Irina, just saw you at Expo at the Odies on Facebook party. That was fun. Jolynn, Wesley, how are you, everybody? So what do you guys want to learn from me? If you want to put it in the chat, what do you want to learn from me about optical? Is it technical? Is it sales? Is it product sourcing? Is it hiring, firing, training? Let me know in the chat, please. About to drop Versant, made decision today, concerned about the transition. Okay, Matthew, we can talk about vision plans and how to get out of those. So let's go ahead and hop into the educational component here. Okay, so question number one here. I'm going to go ahead and launch this poll here. And there's a moderator in here as well who's on my team. And she's going to be interacting with you, answering any questions you have and helping me out. So if there's some random person who's messaging you, no, it's our moderator here. So this question comes up all the time. I just want what my insurance covers. And I'm huge into sales. It's how things happen. And we can't think of sales as a dirty word. So I know a lot of people are like, this is the worst customer, worst patient I could ever have. You know, what am I going to do with that? People's answer is they'll offer frames inside and outside of their budget. Does anyone want to come on live and talk with me, have a conversation so we can teach the audience, you know, how they would address that question? What's your methodology? Does anyone have the problem? They want to kind of get some one-on-one mentorship here. Just raise your hand and I'll bring you on. Here's the deal. Patients, when their mouths are open, they're lying. Okay, Karina Blevins, Jolynn. All right, we got two great people. We're going to come up. Thank you so much. All right. Hey, Jolynn. It's okay if you don't want to be on video, everybody. Can you hear me, Jolynn? Thanks for being here. Really appreciate it.
Hear me?
I hear you. You sound great. How are you?
Doing well.
Awesome.
I don't know if my opinion counts. I'm in sales, so.
Well, I'll give a little background. This is actually my friend Jolynn. She's not a plant. You're in what, North Carolina, right?
Virginia.
Okay. Jolynn, tell us. You know, you worked for Hoya and some other companies in the past. How would you answer this question if a patient asks, "Just I want what my insurance covers"? What does that mean to you?
Well, for me, it means that you just need to show them that your insurance actually covers more the more you pay, because you've already paid into it. So you pay into it monthly and it's a part of your benefit plan. So to really get the most of your benefits, you should maximize those, and that's what you can help them do to make sure they get the perfect pair of glasses that suits all their needs versus just what their insurance covers. So it's
you brought up a good point. Is you have this like massive $300 gift card. And so when I get a $300 gift card, I'm like, I want to go buy the TV. I don't want the little tiny gadget. I want to use all that whole benefit. And I think we almost have to teach patients to rewire how they think about things. I hear what you're saying.
Absolutely. So there's good things and bad things, but if you're going to actually pay to have insurance, you need to also chip in a little more at the end of each year when you're going to get glasses to make sure that you're maximizing your benefits. So.
Correct. So here's what I think when patients say, "I just want my insurance covers," they have no freaking clue. Okay. So first of all, they chose your practice. They drove by 20 different locations to come to your office. So they've made the conscious decision that they want the best of the best. They drove by LensCrafters, Walmart, and all the other private practices in your area. So they like you for some reason. Now here you have them captive in your audience and they see all this really expensive things. And it's very intimidating. So the best thing you could possibly do is sit the patient down, talk to them like a human, engage in conversation, warm them up, make them feel good. And I ignore what price range they want to be in. So let's say they told me, "I want a $300 frame or a $150 frame. Let's keep it really cheap, $150. I would ignore that. I'm going to go grab a $200 frame, a $300 frame, a $500 frame, and maybe a few within their budget as well. And the reason I do that is because they're going to fall in love with something and it's going to be more comfortable or it's going to look better on them and they might squeeze their budget. Do you think that would be, I mean, would you squeeze your budget if something was just so much more comfortable?
Yeah, I would, but I mean, I'm not everybody, but if you get somebody to fall in love with something and how it feels on their face and, you know, usually in an office setting, you even have other people that sometimes will be passing by and you can even get a vote and start a poll in your own office. And it's more interactive. It's a better experience for everybody. And, you know, it's kind of like you just got to cheer them along. So
I've had that too. Yeah. It's like other people are walking by, you get their opinions, make them, you know, feel a warm and fuzzy.
Yeah.
So. All right, Jolynn. Well, you can stick in here if you want. And I'm going to go on to the next topic here. We're going to kind of speed go through this. All right. So we're going to watch a video for this one. So I'm really a big advocate of not doing what a lot of places do. And they do black, brown, gray, silver, metal, tortoise, and maybe blue and some old lady frames. What I think that's doing is really destroying ourselves. And I know like there's companies like Vision Source and they have something called Frame Dream and they act like they've studied the market. We have 3,000 locations and we know exactly what every office wants. Well, the purpose of a system like that is Essilor, Vision Source, is trying to make sales for themselves. They're saying, "We know these are the frames that are the most popular. We want to put our inventory in your warehouse. And that way you can sell it." So they're just trying to make things easy to sell. But as a consumer, if I were to come into your office every single year and I would see the same thing over and over and over, and then all of a sudden I'm on vacation and I go into like a boutique optical and they have a blue frame, a green frame, a red frame, I feel like I'm in this whole different environment. So I really encourage you to explore your frame options and hopefully your reps will help you say, "Look, you have 300 tortoise things on the wall." And I think if Karen's in here, She one time told an optician, go around, I want you to grab every frame that looks like this frame. And the person ended up with like 80 frames in their hands, not their hands, and they all look the same. So I think that is just a huge tip as you're looking at things. But how are other people using color in your offices currently? How do you guys decide what color to bring in? Or, you know, are the guys jumping out of their norm? So there's Alexa's in here. She's actually a friend of mine. She said, Perry, the red ones I got from you are way out of my comfort zone, but I love them and get so many compliments on them. So that's the exact thing. You know, these patients are your walking billboards. And yes, it can be really hard to sell a red frame, to sell a blue tort frame. But when you do, you feel like a champion and you're challenging your opticians, all your staff to really step up their game and not just put something on somebody to really rush them out of the door. So it's something to really consider there.
I think another way to offer someone to try something new is when you're talking about their work pair, because some people who are working from home and you're talking about an occupational pair, sometimes that's a good way to say, hey, why don't you go with a really flashy one for what you're wearing from home? It might be, you know, comfortable and you can put your Trivex, you know, in there so that it's lighter weight or et cetera. And then you can feel like a little bit, you get a boost of color and stand out on your Zoom calls or whatever when you're working from home. So it's another way to introduce color and another sale.
Right. And you know, it's funny, people always associate you with this look. You know, when I was at Vision Expo, I was wearing contact lenses just because I wanted to try on other frames, and people are like, I don't recognize you. And so it's cool to be associated with that look. And I think guys, it's like, it's a cool thing. I'm checking out, getting my groceries, like, yo, cool frame. It makes you feel warm and fuzzy inside. We all want some type of compliment. All right, I'm gonna play this video here now. Caitlin says, blue is the number one color in our office. Also selling lots of greens these days, from translucent sage to dark forest. So 100%, any of the greens or matte finishes come off as really, really masculine. And I think we have to have positive affirmation also for our patients that, look, this isn't weird. You know, no one's going to make fun of you. If anything, you're just going to get compliments every day at work.
Okay, here's a video, and then we'll discuss the topic in just a second here.
Guys, they dress so boring. Not everyone is as cool as me wearing this killer baby blue frame. All right, I'm joking. But what I'm trying to get at is, guys, we need to get them out of the comfort zone with their fashion sense. Not everybody needs a black frame or a brown or a pewter or a bronze. Let's get some fun color on guys' eyewear. If you show guys color, they will be so receptive to actually wearing it. I'm gonna show you a few frames and how to suddenly put color on dudes. Oh, it's just so convenient you have a frame here. So this is a pretty cool plastic double bar. All right, this is probably way too far out for guys to wear, going from a basic metal frame to this snazzy one. So, bad example. Oh, out of thin air again. This is quite astonishing. All right, now, much better. We have a subtle kind of blue navy with a clear gray on the bottom. And this is a way to get guys into color. Super lightweight too. I love it, love it. Get guys in blues and greens, maybe even some dark burgundies is a great way to introduce color. There's just frames growing out of the ground here. This is, wow. Oh, wow, nice. We have a all metal, little brighter blue. Cool, matte gray, matte finish. So as you can see here, when you present guys the opportunity to purchase color, they're gonna grab at it, they're gonna get it. And honestly, when they go to the grocery store, people are gonna be like, cool frames, dude. And the guy will feel good that he has a nice fashion sense.
Okay, so did we get some good laughs out of that one, hopefully? So that's really my philosophy on color. If you wanna sell color, just sell color. Just go grab it off your frame board, pick it up, show it to the patient, and it's really that simple. Okay. All right, next topic here. We're going to do a little poll. We're going to take a look at this next video, and you're going to tell me what is wrong with this video? What is going on that's completely wrong? And you're going to do one of these, because if I ever saw an optician doing that, I would slap them silly. And then coach them a little, though, because this can really cost a lot of money. So let's take a look at this next video here. So adjusting is one of those skill sets that you really have to dedicate in your office. It's one of the most impressive things when a patient can come in, and that customer service means the world to people. If the frame is mangled and you know, 2 minutes, it comes back to life, that is a customer service experience that people will always remember. They will not remember that you gave them a discount. They will not remember that you stayed a minute late, but they will remember is like you did this magic trick and you went into the lab and then you did all these things and something happened out of thin blue air. Get going. All right, so I'm gonna play this video about repair. Tell me what you guys think.
Patient came in and they're complaining that the glasses feel a little crooked. So I got my handy dandy pliers. Here we go. And I'm just gonna move this in a little. All right, that's all I needed. Tell me, what's wrong with this picture?
Well, anybody see anything wrong with this video? Anything that caught your eye? Okay, Johnny Fuentes, he wins. You didn't protect the frame. Okay, so one thing that I really see opticians struggling with is, how do you collect the money? Like, raise your hand, who has trouble collecting money at their practice? Not that you don't know how to collect it, but you're like afraid to collect it. Getting those words out of someone's mouth, like, I need $500, does that frighten anybody? You know, put it in the chat. Karina says, nope, I collect the money like I eat French fries, just scarf them down. How would you like to pay for this? Yep, that's a good one. But I don't eat if I don't get the money, yeah. So I can see we have some jokesters in here, and you can use some humor definitely when collecting payments.
Next up, we're going to be watching a video about how to collect money, the right verbiage, and just how to get that complex task done sometimes.
You know, asking for money in optical, when you're sitting at the desk, you just sold a great pair of glasses and the patient's on the fence, sometimes you have to ask for the money and you can't make a big event about it. You just have to say some key phrases like this. How would you like to settle your bill today? Would you like to get both pairs? How can I check you out? Hey, you know, we've been working on this in a long time. Let's come to a decision right now. And when you have those closing statements, the patient knows, okay, it's time. They're trying to kick me out here. I've been here for an hour and they want to move on. Both of you are sick of sitting there. So make sure to close the sale, ask for the money. All right. So did you guys learn anything there? Just don't be scared to ask for the money. A few ways you can do it are, how would you like to settle today? Is that going to be credit or cash? And the hardest thing to do is sit quietly, because there's that awkward pause, just like this. Mic is hot, videos are low, but we got it sorted. Okay, well, and it's like that pause is a good pause that you want people to know about. It's allowing them to think. So just sit there quietly as they're thinking, and they're eventually going to dig in their purse, or they're going to do one of these to get into their wallet, and that's the cue that they're ready to pay. You should always let people decide if it's too expensive for them or not. When things are too pricey, they tell you. Yeah, stop talking, let the patient absorb. Exactly, Bob. Does anyone want to come on and see if I can figure out how to get people on? Raymond. I think my dad's kind of the king of sales is because he doesn't sell. He just recommends. And that natural conversation allows products to be sold. Hi, Dad.
Hi. Okay. Am I on video?
I guess so. There was some glitches, but now if anyone else wants to come on stage, apparently it's working. So.
Okay. So, I'm just seeing myself on there.
So, Dad, let me pose a situation to you.
Okay.
I'm about to buy a Lindbergh because the optician's been really slick. It's going to be $850 for the complete pair. In the past, I've been wearing a Litec. I really like my Litec frame. It's really lightweight. I've had it for like 3 years, But all of a sudden, the optician places me in an air rim, three grams, but it's about triple what I used to pay. So how would you approach me as optician at checkout?
3 grand? Are you crazy? No. So the question is, you're trying to sell a $3,000 frame?
No. I've worn this for about 3 years.
Okay.
And I'm ready to buy this. It's $850. It's way more than I've ever spent. I've got Davis Vision, and you're the optician, and you're a little hesitant. You're not really sure. You've never sold this type of product. How would you close the sale?
Well, I kind of would present it that we're building a wardrobe, and assuming it's a presbyope, you know, they're going to need a progressive. They're going to need sunglasses. They're probably going to need a computer pair and maybe a reading pair. And either they could get them all today or they can aspire to it. You know, they have birthdays, anniversaries, holidays. So it's nice they have one pair, but one pair is not going to be enough because they really need four pairs. So let's go ahead and work on the wardrobe. And that's just a nice way to present that. So they can aspire to it. So they're picking another nice frame out. So they're going to create part of their wardrobe.
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, we get scared of price, but when you have more expensive things, it provides longevity. So if you amortize the cost over time, it's like the frame and lens really didn't cost you $850. You're going to have it for 40 years. So you're going to replace the lenses and build that wardrobe, like you said.
You could divide out the cost of any of those things, cost per month, cost per day. And people realize that, you know, they spend a couple hundred dollars on their cell phone every month. They spend money on their internet and premium services. So this is something that's going to really enhance their life. And it's something that they really need. So, and if you don't have $800 frames, you're never going to sell them. So you have to have $800 frames to sell $600 frames. And $600 frames to sell $400 frames.
Right.
So don't be scared of it. Just be confident. And if they really want to know why it's more expensive, it's not really because of the brand. It's really because of the qualities of how it's made. But you really need to know the brand story. You know, if it's a Cartier or a Lindbergh or a Goti, you need to know the brand story so they could pass that along when they go home and their spouse says, "You spent what?" Yeah, but it's this and this and this. So they need to know really why, and that it's going to last you several years. So, and they don't have just one pair of shoes either, do they?
Right.
And you want to make it affordable. So you would use SunBid, or if you still have Care Credit, I mean, you can use all those features and they spread out the payments. So get what you want now, but pay for it later. I mean, people do it all the time.
Right. All right. So that's collecting the payment. So next topic we're going to move on to is I'm going to play the next video here. I'm going to go on mute and we're going to talk about how to choose between plastic and metal. Your favorite question, right, Dr. Brill? So first, let's do the poll. I'm going to do the poll. And based on the last conversation, it looks like most people are buying black frames and then brown and then silver. So my advice to you is, why are you allowing patients to buy black frames? If the best way to get rid of all your black frames is just don't carry them. Everybody knows what black looks like. And if you need to order black in, but go with the color. It is marketing at its best. Your patient's just walking around with all those nice frames. Okay. So
I like to say after the optician, of course I don't do the selling, so it's easy for me to say this, but after the optician established some rapport, just say, you know, what did you like or not like about your last pair of glasses? And that way you can start the discussion. Usually they'll say they're too heavy, they slipped, you know, they hurt, something of that order. But if you already have a nice frame, it becomes more difficult. So I never know if by selling, let's say Lindbergh, and they love them, you know, are you harming yourself by selling a perfectly good frame that nothing will ever go wrong with? So I haven't answered that question for myself. But we had somebody in today's, had a couple pairs of lenses and it's a 4-year-old Lindbergh. And I would say, let's get you something nicer, better. And it was a burgundy frame let's go for a different color. Let's go for a little different style. And yeah, you know, right. Different look. Maybe you want a professional look or a sporty look or, you know, classic styling. There's always ways to do that, but they have to, you have to kind of pose the reason for them to get it.
Yeah. So we're going to get into, you know, how do you get, choose and get people to make a decision on eyewear. So I'm going to play this last video.
Or do you want metal?
You love the humor.
That's one of the questions that you should never ask a patient, because immediately you have eliminated 50% of the inventory in your optical. Many patients may have had bad experiences with plastic in the past. Maybe they got their last plastic pair in night. Do you want plastic or do you want metal? That's one of the questions that you should never ask a patient, because immediately you have eliminated 50% of the inventory in your optical. Many patients may have had bad experiences with plastic in the past. Maybe they got their last plastic pair in 1990 when all of the materials were very thick and very heavy and uncomfortable. Same thing goes with metal. Maybe someone had a metal pair in the past and the nose pads just really hurt their nose because they weren't adjusted properly. So the best way to present frames is by not asking these closed questions. We want open-ended questions like, are you looking for comfort? Are you looking to look like an executive? Are you looking to be a supermodel? You know, ask fun questions like that to get people to open up a little.
So I think we've all experienced that. Has anyone ever had an optician who ask, or you have coworkers who ask plastic or metal? Does that frustrate anybody? Give me a heck yeah in the chat. Yeah, streaming sucks sometimes. So hell yeah. Here's the problem. You immediately eliminate half your inventory when you ask plastic or metal. So now let's say I want metal. No, let's say I want plastic. Okay, now I want a red frame in plastic. So now I just went from 1,000 frames to about 10 frames. And now I need a 50 eye size. So that narrows it down from 1,000 frames to one frame. And why even invest in all that inventory if you're going to ask patients these really pointed questions? It's a problem for me because patients always have this expectation of, hey, I want this really, really cool frame. And then they think they're going to look great on it. And then they're disappointed when they walk in and they only have one option. So that's why it's so important to, as someone's mentioning here, sit someone down, take a seat. You know, don't let a patient wander around over and over and over. You kind of have to take control of the sale. And it's not being someone's boss. It's just guiding them in the right direction towards what will look best on them. And I think part of the an optician's duty is to challenge a patient to get out of their comfort zone. And I think patients really enjoy that opportunity to be challenged. You know, let me wear a cat eye. Let me wear something round that I've never worn before. And it creates an intimate relationship between the optician and the patient. My dad says the worst question you can ask is, you didn't want new frames today, did you? I'm going to post that one here on the thing here so you can see that. All right. So the next topic that we're going to get into, see if this stream's okay, is approaching patients as soon as they walk in. Is anyone experiencing staffing issues currently? You know, give me a little hello in the chat here. How does everyone handle outside RXs when people walk in? Because I've always seen this happen, and it's like either people are looking around like, I don't know what to do. I'm new to this business. How do I shop at this optical? You know, it's always very foreign. And a lot of our offices, some of us post prices on our frames. Some do not. My dad's practice, we never put price on the frame, not because we're hiding anything. That just goes into our philosophy of showing people based on value and style and quality and not letting people shop by price. You know, I work in a lot in marketing. And one of the things is, you know, immediately when a lead comes through, you know, I try to call them, email them, text them as soon as possible because it shows I really care. The same thing goes for optical. When a patient walks in, they need to be greeted within, I would say, 30 seconds to a minute. This is not rocket science, guys. Everybody here knows that. But what happens is, let's say you have a 500 square foot optical, 800 square foot optical. The patient does one NASCAR loop around, and then they walk out, said they didn't see anything, and walk out the door. So it becomes a major issue when you don't greet.
Right now, you're going to be watching a video of a young lady comes in, and she's looking for glasses, and nobody greets her right away. She's taking out her phone. She's kind of looking at the price tags, Googling the model number of the frame, and she's going to leave the premises.
Woman, welcome.
Cute. Goodness. Oh, dang, girl. Oh my gosh, it looks so cute. Could probably find these way cheaper online. Are you kidding me? $50 less? I'm not buying this here. I'm getting it offline.
Ma'am, can I help you? Did you see anything you like here?
No, I didn't.
Are you sure?
Yeah, nothing caught my eye.
Okay.
Thanks anyway.
All right. See ya. Bye.
Shopping for frames can be very overwhelming. Patients look through 1,000 frames. They can go around the whole office in 5 minutes, and out the door they go, off to the next optical. We want to slow down the momentum. We want to provide service. That's why people come to Bricks and Mortar still, because they want help, they want assistance, they want fashion guidance, and they want help with picking out the correct ophthalmic lenses. In this scenario, we really could have captured that sale by approaching the young woman, asking her what she likes, what she's looking for. You know, maybe she really came here for something specific. She actually was looking at this beautiful purple frame, and you know, maybe we could have actually sold that to her, and the $50 extra that the frame was wouldn't have mattered if we actually offered service, sat the patient down, and made it super easy. Many of us look for convenience when we're shopping for products.
Okay, so that was my feature film there. Did you guys like that? I actually had a really, I've got like 150 more of these videos, everybody. So if you're, as you come back every single week and we'll get this act tuned up a better, a little more smooth, I think we're all going to have a lot of fun. Again, this is an open floor. I would love for anybody to come in and talk about staffing, how they approach patients. Maybe patients feel like we're creeping up on them, but they want to window shop. If you guys want to talk about it, get some advice, just throw around some mentorship here. It'd be great. Let me know. You know, when they come into your office, they came to buy something. They didn't come to browse. You looked at your Google reviews. They know you carry nice frames. Like, oh, they carry Barton Pereira. They carry Goti. They carry Litech. They carry Silhouette, OR Green, Oakley, Ray-Ban. Like, they came to buy. But people need assistance. And Bob said it right. Acknowledge, ask questions, guide, be the expert. Like, so Caitlin says, all visits by appointment only, all customers greeted by name at the door, all immediately oriented to our process. So that is the way to do it. If you can really swing that off, I know in a higher volume practice, or not even higher volume, but if you have two opticians who are both working with somebody and then a third person walks in, it is absolutely imperative that you get off your ass, one of you, and you go greet the patient and say, hey, my name is Perry. I'm here for you. I'm going to be about 10 more minutes. Feel free to browse around. Here's a bottle of water. Take a seat. We'll be right with you. Just that little amount of engagement can keep people coming around. So for walk-ins, it's exactly that. I greet them right away. And I would say, you know, hi, my name's Perry. How can I help you today? Hi, just first time looking at glasses. And then get their RX, make a little small talk, and then try to sit them down. Slow the momentum, get them feeling comfortable. All right, so next we're gonna move on to a little nose pad education. So here we are, we have this lovely lady and we all have this patient. We're gonna call this patient Joan. All right, and Joan is, I don't know, how old's Joan, guys? What do you think, 73 maybe? Let's guess her age. I'm gonna go 73. 104. Yeah, she's getting up there, isn't she? So we all experience this. Patients come in, and if you don't solve the patient's frame adjustment complaints immediately, they are going to keep coming back in. They're going to keep sucking staff time, and it becomes a nuisance. And even if we love the patient so much and they're so sweet and they bring us cookies, it's still like, oh my gosh, this patient's coming back in every freaking week. Like, I just want them to stay home and deal with their issues. So in this situation, how would Bob or someone else, and I welcome everyone to come on video, how would you would solve irritation issues to the nose? What ideas do you guys have for solving irritation issues? Can let the patient suffer? Are you going to get them in for an RX check? Stop wearing glasses and bam. Yeah, they should wear contacts. So one thing is, you know, adjust those nose pads. They could be at the wrong inclination. Lightweight frames, that's a good one. Not a quick solution, but what I would do is if they're wearing a 13 millimeter nose pad, I would suggest putting them in a 15 millimeter nose pad. So if you were to step on one nail, that one nail would go right through your foot. It would hurt like crap. But if you step on 100 nails at once and they're all pointing up, all that tension, not tension, just pain is kind of distributed across the whole surface. So by switching to a larger nose pad, distribute the weight, more surface area, more comfort. I know this is some super basic stuff, but a lot of people need to hear this by moving to a larger nose pad. And I think there are a lot of people who think, man, the vanity of it, the aesthetics, it doesn't look as good, but it's the right thing to do. So that means that you should always have physics. There we go, Irina. You should always have your nose pads stocked. That means have all your rounds, all your ovals, every single dimension in stock, even if you only use it 4 or 5 times a year. So Mary said, make sure your frames are properly balanced. Bob, make an effort and adjust splay and other angles. Change to larger or different material. Do something. That is it. Do something. Like, it can be a total hoax what you do. Even if you make a minor adjustment, sometimes it could be mental. For me, I don't necessarily like the silicone nose pads. I feel like they pull my skin. I've got oily skin. I prefer a hard plastic. And a lot of patients believe that, oh, I need a soft silicone because it's going to be a lot easier on my skin. I found it more common for it to pull my skin. And I like a light, flat, really thin pad. It's worked really well for me. Something else you could consider or is a titanium nose pad. That metal on the face feels really organic and very rich and very different than plastic. Even though it's this hard surface, there's something about the curvature of that pad on the face that feels really good. All right. Okay. So I'm really curious. You know, we were talking about greeting patients. Do you let your patients shop unattended or attended? And I would love audience feedback again. This is a live video. You get kudo points and maybe a special gift, surprise gift to your office if you come on board here and talk with me. I would love to talk about how do we get an optician to attend a patient and coach our other colleagues to do the same. If we want to fight online and all these other forces out there in private equity, it's just done by service, guys. It's really simple. Alexa has a question. Okay. So Alexa says, what would you do for a patient whose nose is hurting from the frames constantly sliding down and hurting their bridge that's very thin? Well, I think you need a nose job, Alexa. I'm joking. She's my friend. So what I would say is you need to check behind the ears. You also need to check that, is it the frame even fit correctly for you? So you could have a 16 millimeter bridge. You could have a 17 millimeter bridge that you need for your nose. And that small minute difference and sizing will do the trick. Just think about when a shoe is a half a size too small, how miserable it is. And so and this is something to think about when you're providing patients with frames. Don't just sell something to get their ass out the door. Like, it's going to come bite you back in the butt in 3 months when they come in with a big old gnarly dent in their face and they're thinking, you know, what can I do? And you know the answer. The answer is you need a new frame because I didn't spend the extra 10 minutes to properly fit you. So this goes back to taking your time and getting a professional to help you. So, all right. So it looks like for this poll, attended. We have most people said they have someone attend. One person said no attendance. So I challenge you to attend every single patient from start to finish and see your sales rise. Okay, we're going to move on to the next poll here. All right, we kind of did this one already, but talking about nose pads again. Anyone fitting round nose pads? When's the application for a round nose pad in your office? I would say, I'm not going to give the answer away. It's tempted, but tell me when you would use a round. While we're all voting here, I just want to let everybody know this is going to happen every single week for 52 weeks straight. Hopefully some of you will be brave enough to come on here. Any question, please come ask your stupid questions. I'm not here to school anybody. I don't have an optician degree. I'm just down in the dirt is how I've learned. So if you ask me about Prism, I'm going to deflect it to somebody else that has a deeper understanding and knowledge and passion for that side of optics. See you, Jolynn. Thanks so much. So any questions anybody has, I'd love to talk with you. Don't be shy. Gotta go. See you, Tina. Thank you. We'll see you next week. Well, kind of to wrap it up here, I really appreciate you all being in the community and going through my dry test run here for Optical Obsessed Live. I hope you can bring your friends to the next show. It'll be much smoother, hopefully. And really the goal is to provide mentorship. And, you know, I've really seen it over the past 3 to 4 years is these Facebook groups have blossomed. Opticians on Facebook is a fantastic platform. I learn so much there every day. And I educate there as much as I can and chime in on the comments. And that's beautiful about online. But what's missing is this human component. And investing in ourselves is really important. I mean, I see if Bob Festmeyer is on here, I don't see last names. I mean, he's always out there drinking a beer on the patio in the summer and reading, you know, a technical optical book. And staying fresh on things is really important if you want to advance your career. And, you know, I just went to Vision Expo and it costed me $2,000-$3,000 out of my own pocket. You know, no one paid for that. And it's if we want to see this profession go down the toilet, it's going to go down the toilet because education is not being received. And I don't think education needs to be received via formal ways. It can be through formal mentorship. And I hope this can be one of the ways that we can provide this mentorship through video mentorship and connecting with each other. There's so much to learn and there's a lot of things people bottle up. And not everything can be through writing. And so I have a whole slew of other videos and other topics that will step into business, technical. You know, we just went through optical, you know, kindergarten here. We'll get through some more advanced topics, could get into in-office edging, practice management, some financial stuff. Maybe we'll bring somebody on. So, I was at Expo, just probably didn't seem to hear. So, if you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen. I love it. Well, everybody, thank you so much for attending the first episode of Optical Obsessed. You're going to get a notification for the next one. What I recommend doing is if you actually hit on your calendar invite, change it to every single week. You'll get notified and it's going to be your same link every time. So you always have that there. And I'll be releasing the topics that we'll go through every single week. And they'll be varied here and I'll probably have some guest people on with me to just talk about optical, shoot the breeze. Thanks, Charlene. Thanks so much. Appreciate it. With that being said, I'm going to sign off. If you are not in my Facebook group, this is going to redirect you to my Facebook group called iTrepreneur. It's a really great group of 2,500 people. And we just talk about a lot of business and, it's all a cordial, polite environment. So, and yes, I love mentorship. I've had mentors. I still have mentors. And I think it's so important that every optician can have one person you can call, one person for help. Your lab is not necessarily giving the best help. I'm just going to say it. They're not. I want somebody that can give it to me straight. Maybe I call somebody and say, hey, Perry, I have a minus 12. They're on this budget. I don't know what to do. Or for the life of me, I've remade their glasses 3 times. I'm sick of them. But I love this person so much that I want to get it right. What do I do? And you need to have that one person that you can call in your life or message online who can help you out. because that's what collaboration is about. And you should do it without getting paid. So that really goes into my mantra of just being there for people and providing assistance and mentorship and consulting without charge, of course, within reason. So I will see everybody on the next show of Optical Obsessed Live, and we're going to dig more into stuff. So take care, everybody. Thanks for joining me. Bye. Good night. See ya, Tabitha. Bye, Calvin. Charisma. See ya. Bye, Alexa.